Welcome back to the Mile Distancing Show. We're Shirley and Sharon Nordstrom, and today we're going to continue our visit with Rick Kagagabe, the blanket maker. Hope you enjoy the show.
Back in the day, when I made blankets, money was really tight. And so when I did my patterns, I Frankenstein them together. If I can, I try to get, like the sun on this one right here is one whole piece. It's not pieced together. But back in the day, I would cut it up. And so it's like I knew how much material and set there. It's like, oh, that's, my circle is going to be about 42 inches, so I'll buy about 45 inches.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the day, it's like, well, I can all, if I cut it up, I can get it down into like 20 inches. So that's what I used to do. And it was just, how much do you need? I need 7.5 inches of this. And they're like, really? It's like, really? I just want 7.5 inches. But that's what I do is with the coupons and stuff like that from Joanne Fabrics. So like the red and the blue sky, they also got a purple and a blackish color.
Oh,
like this.
Really?
And I really enjoy that that pattern. That, yeah, it's just like, can't we just buy the whole thing? And we would buy the whole bolt, and it's gone. You know, I had to go by and buy a couple yards because that's all they had left. But Penny and I, this is our 10-year anniversary blanket. I do have our wedding blanket. It's really in tatters.
So how long have you and Penny been married?
We have been married, be going on 11 years now. And this is an adaptation of our wedding blanket.
Ooh, that's pretty.
The sun and the moon.
Okay, so it's the union of you two together.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the three stars on the sun. So did you say you had three children?
Yes.
So those are your children. And you have your elderly lady again and with her wisps of hair, but...
But she has different colors. She's got white, red, and two shades of green?
Nope. That's yellow, right? Red, green, and blue. So yeah, and you see the rainbow coming out on the sides. Our wedding blanket has... I have an actual rainbow going around it. You can see these lines here? That's how the other one blanket goes. You see the red, orange, yellow, you know, then you actually see the colors. So what I thought I would do this time is I'll do that exact same outline, except for I'll just applique it and use the applique, the thread, to go through those six colors so that this is the rainbow part right here when it goes through these blocks.
Oh, all right, yeah.
And the parts that don't go through the blocks is the copper color thread.
Yeah.
And that copper thread, I love using it as to represent nativeness. And it doesn't, you could be Sumi or any other tribes like down in South America and stuff like that. It's the concept of being native. Like Carl, I could use that color for his nativeness, who he is and stuff like that. So, but yeah, you see a lot of
feathers.
The eagle feathers. Now the eagle feathers, you'll notice there's four, and that two are white with black. The black has polka dots, white polka dots,
mm-hmm.
on it.
Uh-huh.
Speckles. I'm Loon Clan. And the one on top is outlined in brown. Mm-hmm. I'm brown. And the one down below is supposed to be a reddish maroon. That is the outline color. That's the color of the eye of the loon. The other side is
Ajijak.
Yes. My eyes are brown. Penny's eyes are light blue. So this feather is outlined in light blue. And the one down below is orange because the crane's eye is orange. So you got our clan and then you got us represented.
I like that. That is beautiful. Okay, so then there's a star up at the top with the copper.
Yep.
And then the moon.
Yes.
That's the moon down below with the gray.
Yeah, that's me up above. That's Penny down below. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm the star of the show. Blankets that I made for the watermark showing, those drawings were actually like 12 years old. So it's like, you want something now? And I looked through some of my old drawings, and it was like, here's two right here. I'll use those. From the drawing, a regular size piece of paper, I transfer it over to a poster board. I'll tape it up to what I need and stuff like that. Even from there, it will change. And then, okay, I'm making a blanket. Yeah, all of a sudden things start changing as I'm doing things. So all along the process, it could be, there's other times it's like, this is it. That's the way it's going to be. The only thing I'd worry about is the colors. But the drawing is, they're going to look just like that.
Yeah.
Like those stars, and it was on that skirt on the side with the stars. and the paw print, no, that was going to look like that. That wasn't going to change at all.
I think those times when things are changing like that, there's such a spiritual thought behind what you're doing. You're getting some guidance for somewhere else on...
That's what I feel when I'm doing my painting. Mm-hmm. And it starts out, this is what I had in mind. And you finish it and it's, that's not... I was going to paint a chickadee one day and it turned out that it was a kingfisher. Mm-hmm. And as I'm painting away, he's just, you know, he just transformed. And okay, how'd that happen?
That's, see, that's what makes it so cool is some people, they seem so nonchalant when they draw and stuff like that. But then there's other people who just... something burning inside of them that they got to get out. And then there's a Japanese movie called Dreams. It's by Kurosawa or something like that. Uh-huh. It's called Dreams. And what it is, he's a filmmaker. He made a film of 8 dreams based on 10. He had 10 dreams. He filmed 8 of them. He made, and one of them, he's walking through paintings. And there was Van Gogh was sitting there in a field painting. And that Van Gogh goes, why aren't you painting? The guy is just like standing there and he goes, I think the gist of it was Van Gogh was everything he saw was a piece of art. But time was a factor that it changed. So as he was painting, then the next scene was already coming by, so he couldn't keep up with it. And the film made it seem like, you know, that's why he was going off the deep end, because it was so beautiful, but it drove him crazy. Because mm-hmm. he couldn't finish, you know, yeah. The next one was already, why aren't you painting?
We need to capture it all. We need to be able to capture it, mm-hmm. rather than just being at peace with that beauty right then and there.
Yeah. I have those moments. I don't really consider myself an artist, but I kept having this turtle come into my mind. I could see this turtle, you know, like the feet when they come out from the shell were roots. And it was all this color. And I was like, I didn't really do watercolor, but I didn't even have watercolors. I had to go buy them. So after about 3 weeks of this turtle being in my head, I'm like, I gotta go get paint and paint this turtle. This turtle just has to be painted. So I went and got my paints and I painted the turtle and, you know, showed everybody. And once I felt kind of good, like, oh, whew, that's over with. And then my buddy ended up buying that for a friend of hers.
I've had no desire to paint this last week.
Well, you gotta rest sometime or you'd be like Van Gogh. Yeah. Why aren't you painting?
Yeah. But you know,
in
I
your
know
case,
that...
it's why aren't you sewing?
Yeah.
Do you ever have dry spells then, or do you?
There's a yes, and then there's also not. It's not necessarily a dry spell. It's, well, like this skirt, I told a woman yesterday, a couple days ago, I said, I just put the elastic in and I'm finished. She goes, oh, I was expecting at least a couple months. That's fast. And I said, no, I've been sick for 2 weeks. I said, I'm 2 weeks late because I didn't really see. It's okay, skirt. I knew the pattern, that style I went. This is the third skirt I made, but it's the second of that style. And I've never seen that style in anybody else's.
I haven't either. That's what I liked too. It was different.
And it's on your hips.
Yeah.
That's where I wanted to display the stuff. And so that the evening sky material, I just had a little sliver. I don't have enough. And I just say, oh, man, I got to get some there. And he goes, well, just pennies. Let's just wait. You know, next week, Monday, we'll be in Fargo. It's like, yeah, but I want it now. And they don't sell it in town here, but it was that craving to do it. But yeah, there's other times too, we are gathering and stuff like that, so I have to put it aside.
Yeah, you gotta.
And then there's, the dry spells where nobody's asked for a blanket, you know, so, and drums are coming up, and you know how it is. It's, it was like 4 days before drum, like, geez, I gotta get 8 blankets done. but the 4 months before that, I can just... don't have to concentrate on it, so I don't even try it, do anything, and it's just getting the gumption, you know. It's like, get back into the swing. And those are general pattern ones basically I make there. But on some of these, it's like that turtle. When you're describing that turtle, I can see him, the rainbows coming off his off his claws, you know, as it's moving. It just, and it looks like watercolor trailing off. Because I did some turtles, and they had lightning bolt claws, and they used them to run through the sky gripped the fabric of, you know, of the universe and just propel themselves forward. And I also had made some also that had lightning bolts coming out of in front of them, so they're like shooting lightning bolts and stuff like that. So when you mention that, that looked really neat.
I did a bear with lightning bolts.
Where at?
On his claws. Mm-hmm. And then he had a lightning bolt because she wanted it done. Her name had Mukwa in it, mm-hmm. and her son had lightning mm-hmm. in him. So she wanted the two incorporated. And so I did that, and then the paws, I had it ripping that open so that you would see that on the inside. And so the lightning bolts were ripping open this piece of birch bark. And so that's what I painted for them with Boujou on it, because it was a welcoming sign that she wanted.
Oh, okay. Oh, jeez. Well, I know where my next two ideas are coming from.
That's it. I was just wondering about your skirt there, because I have never seen a skirt like that. That is beautiful. And I was like, you know, how long is it going to be before somebody grabs your idea and starts putting those that design like that together?
Well, and on the skirts, they have, it's 6-inch panels on the side. The back part of the panel has a slit that goes up that should go pretty close to where your knees, back of your knees are at. So as you walk, you're not restricted, you know, you do the little...
I saw that there was a slit there, and I thought, oh, that is really handy. Yeah. Now your legs can move. Sides.
But this style of blanket I always did, and these two women, they copied it. They start copying this style. I don't think it's original. I think other people have done stuff like that too. But they did a wolf. And the way I came about doing this was through tragedy. So this was my therapy. So I had it became very spiritual. So the way I look at it, this was given to me that way. So it's not me who does all this stuff. Like you had mentioned before, is that I'm the one they're using to do this. When I saw their work, I couldn't feel that. So go ahead and do it, but I think that the intention, the spiritual bindingness, is not there.
That's what she says about her work. But I kind of, you know, I write a lot for a living. And sometimes I think I'm guided, and I know it's the writing contemporary things like environmental stuff, but sometimes when I sit down and I start typing and then I get done and I went, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And then I've had people say, you know, you really don't talk like you write.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
probably because it's really
These two women, they always thought that, Rick's a comedian, you know, and didn't put too much into me. Then one day I started talking, this is how I feel. And it was down at my day when I said, this is how I feel and this is how I see things. And a lot of these things are not the same what you consider traditional, because it's not, I see people who are traditional and the way they walk is, I question that. And so why am I thinking like that? So I got really serious, and it just shocked those two women. They did not know that I was like that at all. They just thought, oh, Rick, you know, comes the ceremony or this or that, we'll ask these people, not Rick. But they didn't realize that what it actually meant to me. I remember a foolish young man who made a promise to the spirits to do cultural things. And I am still paying for that because I did not know what I asked. So they keep me around. but yeah, it was things like that. And like you said, with your writing, a friend of mine one time, he went to give a talk to a group of ladies. He gave me tobacco to help him. So I go, okay, what kind of ceremony are you doing? And we couldn't find a place. I said, wouldn't it be funny if it was in that church right there? And it was. And here it was, a group of church ladies. Out of all of them, only one was Native. And I was like, okay, you gave me tobacco for a ceremony. I said, this is not a ceremony. And I listened to them talk. And all of them women just really ate it up. I watched them. And I saw how they were just really, the way their eyes looked and stuff, the way they were perched looking up at them. So I listened to them. What I heard was, he would start, it's like a joke. He'd tell you the joke and the punchline was garbled. Or he would start saying something and then it didn't make sense. And then we would go outside and we would walk and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I didn't understand anything he said. To me, it wasn't, like you said, like you're talking about your writing. It didn't come from there. You know, the spirits didn't guide them.
They didn't use gifts.
So when I go to drum ceremony, I was given 3 pieces of material. And I was always given funky material. You just, man, these are like old hippies or 300s or whatever, which is nothing wrong with that. But I'd always get this funky material and I would make a blanket out of it. So I got it from drum, I'd make a blanket. One time I got 3 pieces. I lived at the YWCA in Duluth. I had these 3 pieces of material. I laid them out in a bed. Boy, I could hear it in my mind. This is who that blanket goes to. And I didn't know of no design. I just knew where it was going. So I made a big yin and yang out of it. And then when I finished it, I went up to the young woman. You know, this woman doesn't really know me. And so it's like, oh, hey, lady, here, I got a gift for you. What am I trying to tell you? What are you getting from this? And I didn't want to come off like that. So I said, well, you know, when you have something, you know where it belongs, it has to go there. And she goes, oh, yeah. It's like when these kids, when they take out toys, they should put them back where it belongs. It's like, no, that's not what I was trying to say. So I said, I was told this belongs to you. I gave it to her, and I didn't know how to exit. So I walked out backwards because I didn't, you know, it's because it's like, no, see, nothing in my hands, And they just told me where it went. And that was it, just by laying three pieces of material to each other. Sometime later, when I was down at the front desk at the Y, it was just me and the person behind the desk. That young woman, she walked in. She goes, oh, I showed my friend that blanket. And my friend goes, oh my God, that's you. And I was standing there, I says, yeah. You know, I didn't say it to her. I was like, yeah, I know. I was told who that was. There were, I can't remember what flowers there on there, so I'll just say that they were like daffodils and lilies on her. And those were her two favorite flowers. Now, there's only a couple of ways that could happen that I would know that. I don't know if those are her favorite flowers. I didn't really know nothing about her. But for some reason, she needed that blanket, so I made it. And there it went. But I also had the other end of the spectrum where this one woman, I used to go visit her and her husband at home. She would feed me, and it was like, okay, I didn't want to be disrespectful, so I ate. She'd keep and feed me more, so I ate. But she, I think she got in her head that she was, you know, I fed you, where's my blanket? So she, my mom was that way, and this one, I had three people who were like that. So this woman, she wanted, it's like, oh, don't I get a blanket? And it's like, so I made her a blanket, and when I would finish up, I'd run out of thread, like 3 inches from, I just needed 3 inches of thread, and I'm done. My sewing needle would bust, and then I'd have some, pin it down, and that it would stab me, and I actually got my blood on the blanket. And all these little things were, you know, it's like, shouldn't be making this, you know, or not necessarily that, it's just that she doesn't deserve that. She doesn't deserve it. So all the things that were going, these little things that were happening, I gave it to her, and it was kind of like, here. It's not like, thank you for everything that you've done for me. It's just like, here. In my mind, I'm going, here's your blanket. You should be appeased. So there was that end of the spectrum, too. Yeah. And it was just like, you know, there's pain forward, and then there's kind of like paying your dues that people think you owe. And that was one of them, you know. And so that was really a totally different experience. And I had another situation where when I stayed in St. Croix, I would pay their bills. So I'd go and I'd pay their electric bill. And this young woman was back behind the counter. And she wasn't Native, but she had a Native son. And the father wanted nothing to do with the boy at all. So she'd tell me her hardships, so I made her a blanket. And when I finished it, I went to her workplace. There's a big U counter. And I kind of waved her down to the end. And she was like, you can tell, it's like, what? So we got down to the end, and I said, do you mind if I keep you warm tonight? And she, her eyes got just big. She goes, what do you mean? I said, oh, I made you a blanket, here. And so I went in there saying that. I did intentionally give her that wrong idea. But yeah, that wasn't the reason why. It's just that she needed one, so I made her and gave it to her. And there was no strings attached to it, you know, and that's the cool thing. Yeah, that's one of the things, too, that always disturbed me, where our culture would call them elders. Other cultures would call them elderly. And what you mentioned before about you just tap them for information, you know, stories and stuff like that. I know that there are people out there who they have talents, knowledge, stories, and they want to share it, but nobody comes to them.
I was just visiting with a man from Leech Lake, and he's trying to record for speakers that are left.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 years ago, there were 150, and now they think there may be only 25. And one of them is in a nursing home way far away from here.
Oh, geez, yeah.
And he's got nobody. And they actually went to go see him, and the guy told him, well, there's only me. And there's a woman from White Earth here, but she doesn't like me.
Yeah, that's sad. Yeah, I know I had this dream this one time, and I was sitting there, and this little girl, I saw her walking up. She walked up to me, and she gave me tobacco for something. I went to Medicine Man. I got it checked out. He goes, okay, yeah. He told me what it meant. Years later, a lot of times when people go, oh, you know, 4 days or 4 weeks or 4 months or 4 years will happen, it doesn't happen that way. No. So I was sitting down at Medewin, and I was in the White Earth campground. They all huddled together, and I was sitting there. Oh man, here comes this little girl, and I'm just like, oh man, and it's come walking up to me, opens up her hand, has tobacco, and it's like, oh no, it starts. Yeah, it's coming true. But I know that, like for those quill boxes, Penny always wanted me to go learn from this guy, and it's like, I didn't have the heart to tell her. Still, I don't think I still haven't told her. She'll find out.
Stay tuned, Penny.
You want to learn. You go learn. That's not my path.
Yeah.
And so she did. And she finally figured it out. I want to learn. She wanted to learn from me, but she just wanted, just craved that. So she learned how to do them, and then it's trickling down through me now, and so I help her along. She wants to show people how to do it. She needs more experience, do more boxes and stuff like that, because I had mentioned to her that she's got to create her style from her mentor. Otherwise, just, you know, copy everything the way he does it. But she's molding herself. And so then when she teaches it, then she'll know. When I do blankets, my general pattern blankets, I have 5 4-foot rulers. I have a 5-foot ruler, and I have 2 6-foot rulers. And I got a piece of 4x8 plywood, and I cut them. I do them all the same way, and it's a factory. It's assembly line the way I do them. And I can spit the blankets out a lot quicker than I used to when I was younger. The material back then was, you make a little slit and you rip it, and it rips nice. Uh-huh. You do that now, and it's polyester and stuff like that, and it's all wrinkled up, and you got to iron it out. I taught myself more techniques, better techniques, shortcuts, but I also take care of the material better than what I used to before. Before, just speed. I can go faster now, but I do more things. The material, the big bolt of material, I iron out a big section that will fit on top of on the board, and then fold over, and so then I'll chop that up. But I iron it out, and then when I cut it out, I'll have these strips, and then I sew 14 strips together, and then I iron that out flat, and these strips, I cut them the other way now, and now I got all these block strips, and I'll have all these other little pieces I put in between those. But what I end up doing is I do a lot more ironing, a lot more care to it, whereas before, you can tell I was a young man then.
Yeah.
And sloppiness didn't matter too much.
Yeah.
There's still a point of sloppiness in my stuff. Not necessarily sloppiness, but that's the way it went. That's the way it will stay. You know, unless the material really slipped off and it's not even sewn here, I'll go back and sew it again. But I try to take a lot more care into it. And I think that's what helps today, is that I have put in thousands of dollars into blankets, money-wise. Money-wise, I got back, it's just a few hundred.
I was going to ask you, how much do you usually charge for?
One, people would offer me tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
They say, could you do a blanket for me? I did 6 blankets for a bundle for this one young woman. I got a $50 bill and a pint of syrup bought from the store. That was it. So then she asked me to do 6 more for her the relative going through the lodge. And so I did 6 more, and then she never paid me. So for 12 blankets, that's how much I got. So they cost me a little over $4 to make. So them old people, they didn't tell you yes or no. They told you a story.
Right.
That's okay. What I'm doing. I'm giving you all the aspects in which I, because I'm leading up to that point.
Okay.
So not many people just said, can I sell, have a blanket to sell. Not many people have done that through all these years I've been making blankets. So basically it was along those lines, tobacco only. But then some people asked, well, do me some blankets. And some wanted more designer ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then they asked, well, they gave me tobacco, and they asked, well, what do you want for it? And it's like, you gave me tobacco. You brought in the spirits to witness this. You pay me what you feel it's worth. And, I don't know, how much is that? And it's like, you pay me what you think it's worth. I did 4 for a friend of mine. He was going to get 4 blankets. I did. I gave it to him. And he gave me 4 quarts of maple syrup that he cooked down. And I told him, I said, you grossly overpaid me, because the time and effort it took to make that syrup, it's like, you overpaid me. But it also tells me what these mean to you, what he's given them out as gifts. Mm-hmm. What he put a value, spiritual value on them, that was enhanced what I put on it. So otherwise, people, when they give you tobacco, I don't think they consider there's a white man cost to it. You know, they'll gift me up. I get gifts from 2 sets of people, one who had money, one who didn't. And it paid me basically the same thing. I valued the one who had nothing, the person who had nothing. I valued her stuff more than I did his, because he had the ability. He's on tribal council for crying out loud. So I never really sold him. And so it wasn't until lately that I started with Penny. She's moving me that direction. When they're at Watermark, those ones, they were had them on sale for $700. And I can't justify $700, because I don't consider myself an artist. And I know that it's hard, it's difficult to get to make a living off it. And we all know that it costs material. And so the value, I did make some baby blanks one time. My baby blanks are huge.
So the child can grow.
So yeah, and it's like buying a pair of shoes, and 1 month later they're out of them. But the woman, I made her buy me the material. And then when I finished them, she was going to give me $75. And I charged $70 a piece, and she was kind of appalled by that. But my friend who's an artist, I said, yeah, they cost 75 material, I said, and then they cost, I charged 75 a piece for them, and he got ticked at me. Man, you should have sold them, you could have gotten a lot more than that for them, because I didn't know the value of them as an artist. I did try to sell one time when I lived in Duluth. I worked at Vickers Inn. They had a shop, this Native woman had a shop downstairs, so I said, okay, I'll sell the blanket. I put it down there, and I went back up. I did laundry. My washing machine and my dryers started acting up. So I went back downstairs. I said, I can't do this. And I brought it back, and my machines were fine. So if, at that point in time, I'm not supposed to do that. But that was the concept in my mind was, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to do that. Now my concept, that what comes to my mind is, it wasn't the time then. Now the time is coming.
Yep.
So with doing a show and stuff like that, I will start to charge more for it. Because I took my daughter, she had trouble when she was really young. Took her to her medicine man, her mother and I. Medicine man was doctoring somebody else. He came in, looked at my daughter, and he said, her spirit is hurting. Then that's all he said when he came in. And so doctored my daughter, and we bought all these gifts. And that old man, he goes, oh, but this is way too much. I said, but in my mind, this is my daughter. I didn't give you enough. I feel that this is all the money I had. This is all I have for right now. I said, I felt I didn't give enough. That's the importance of my daughter.
Yeah.
And that's putting a minimum on it. You know, I just said, still, you know, if I was a billionaire, would I still have enough to do that? So people don't see it like that, though. They see it as a painting, as a poem, or whatever, you know, that you've produced. Oh, yeah, they kind of go, and you're kind of well-known, so, you know, it must be about $100 range. And it's like, you know Picasso. Yeah, but did Picasso really put his spiritual being into it? Or, you know, and that's versus people who just see it as a work by Picasso.
Right.
And not, you know, it's like, oh my God, look at that.
The artist, not thinking of yourself as an artist. You are an amazing artist. My eyes, what I see and what I hear, it's your blankets are beautiful.
They are.
Well, Watermark is asking me for next spring.
Good.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm excited about the Watermark and having the Mackinac Gallery. Bemidji has never really, as a town, been respectful for the Native community and the first people there, and it even has an Ojibwe name. Come on. But, you know, but now we got the Watermark, and it's actually a gallery for us to display our art so that other people can see the beauty of the art that's produced by Native artists. And it's really an exciting opportunity.
I know a lot of people who, you know, they do a lot of beadwork. And they make regalia, they hand drums, whatever. And they are just exceptional. But nobody knows it. Nobody knows it, you know. And I've seen it in the communities. I got relatives. This one family, there was like seven, and they're all athletic, and they're just amazing, but they didn't go anywhere. Nothing happened to them, you know. I'm thinking professional teams and stuff like that. No opportunities were given to them, so they never pursued it. You know, some little, one blanket I made, my daughters, they were visiting me one time, they were little, mother had custody. I made a little doodle, just a few little lines. My youngest daughter, she looked at it, and I was just like, yeah, whatever. And she gave it to her older sister, and her sister looked at it, she goes, that's me. That's all she said, and she put it down. And so I made her a blanket with that outline. All it was is like just some lines coming off, swooping off. And there's like about four of them. She goes, that's me. So she had that blanket, and now it, you know, it was so old that it got ripped up and stuff like that. So I had to give it back, and I remade the pattern, and I made a circular blanket for her now. And so she has that renewed. But yeah, there's so many, even they had kids, high school kids stuff in there.
Yeah, they do. I think that's another thing that I like too, is that bring the schools in and let the kids see their art in some place like that.
Well, as far as the cost with the blankets, I'll jump back to that. It does cost quite a bit, especially when they start putting, I want this, and I want that on there. I said, okay, now you're looking at some really nice material and you're looking at $15 a yard. So my requirements are, tell me what you want on it. Tell me what colors you want on it. I'll do a drawing, and then you go with me to pick up the material. You buy the material.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case you say, okay, I scrap the project, then I got all the stuff.
Right.
And so you buy the material, and then, or you gave me a certain amount. And I did this with one gentleman. He gave me $400, And I said, I'm going to keep a running tab. I said, I kept track of everything, all my expenses, everything I had, and then even the scraps. The ones that were too small to use, I threw away, but the other ones that were, you know, little chunks and stuff like that, anything you can reuse, I gave them everything. I gave them receipts, all material not used and still can be used for other projects, and his change back. And I said, here you go. Now you pay me what you think it's worth. And it's, I didn't want to do that. You know, I almost used the whole $400 on those two just to get stuff that I thought he would like.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's like, okay, I'm going to go back in the bargain bins and make you a blanket. And
even the bargain bins, the material's $8 a yard.
Yeah, it's expensive too. And so that's kind of, but a lot of people, that's why they say, well, I trust you. It's like, well, I thank you, but the actual point is, if you give me tobacco to make this blanket, I want you to put yourself into that. Even if it's just picking out the material.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I get it all put together, even if it's to, if you don't know how to sew, even if it's just to, I'll put the yarn through and you tie the yarn, this is for you, so you put as much as you can. But they went blankets out like that. I try to get people to. And I did have a gentleman come. We did, my wife and I, we helped, my wife helped his wife. I helped him. We had two different areas. They were in the attic with their Sony stereo system. And I was down in the basement with my little bitty boombox. But him and I, we put them together. And one of the things that I did for him, well, I tried to help him, is they brought embroidery floss. And I said, oh, okay, no. See, we're using my yarn. My yarn, it will never, you know, bunch up and get hard and stuff like that. It will always fluff out. It's discontinued now, unfortunately. But it will always start looking the same like this.
Yeah.
You know, just spider out like that.
Yeah.
So I helped him, and it's like where people think, well, you just put yarn to it. I start telling him, I said, well, what color do you want on there? What does this, look at that blanket, the colors you got on there. What do you get off that? What are you trying to express when you, you know, it's like, to me, this looks like brown and you got a light blue. It kind of looks like you're going for a minty, chocolate minty type feel to it. So a cool feel to it, yet soothing because of the chocolate. So what kind of yarn do you want to put on there to enhance that? Or to contrast that. So I said, oh, okay, I'll put this in there. So it's like, I'll put green in there. It's like, okay, yeah, that's minty. So I put green on it, next blanket. You know, I said, well, same thing. Now, he goes, well, I don't know if I should use black or should I use red. I said, there's nothing stopping you from using both. So you can use both. And so he started switching. He said, multicolored yarn in there. And I said, there's nothing that tells you that you have to go up and down, left to right, and stuff like that to make this little pattern. I said, you put it anywhere you want. I said, I did a blanket that had a sun way up in the corner, and all my yarn started off of that sun like rays coming off. So it didn't go, it wasn't like grid. It wasn't a grid pattern. It just came off like rays off the sun. I said, that's the way I tacked it down. So finally, one of the last blankets he had mukwa on there, panels that have all, then they have like little birch bark on it and stuff like that. And so he, all the little corners that had birch bark, he said, I'm putting it there. You put just multicolors through. I said, okay, what are you doing that for? He goes, these are little baskets, and these are the berries that are in the basket.
Oh,
I said,
you got it.
I said, you're very close. I said, but to me also, not only the berries, is that you're talking medicine plants, things that we gather and stuff like that. That's what I'm seeing, not just the berries. Well, the berries being medicines too. But so he started seeing it different, and he was really amazed. You can do a blanket and you can put your heart and soul into it, or you can do a blanket and just put your heart and soul into it. These blankets for him, he was asking for healing, and now he could connect that, what to put into the blankets, with his healing. The healing was starting already. So there's that type of concept that people don't understand. I don't know how to put a value on that.
You can't.
But I'm trying to, you know, it's like there are forces that help me. There's spirits who watch over me doing this. I don't know what their thoughts are in terms of getting something in return. But in my mind, it's like I'm not asking you for me. I want to make sure that the ones that help me are appeased and that they continue to help me. And if I was like, oh, geez, you know, I just a $1 million blanket and we get stuff for five and dime, you know, it's like let's go somewhere else and work. So I don't want that to happen. So I want to make sure that they're happy. What does it mean to you? So that's still difficult.
It is.
Yeah. It's very, very challenging.
But I do think, like with your, what is it, the kingfisher you did?
Uh-huh.
That needed to go somewhere.
He did.
That needed to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That right there is, still can't put a value on it, but I don't know, it just needed to be done.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and I just feel so honored to hear your story and to see your blanket, so miigwech.
Yes. Oh, thank you for letting me tell it.
My eyes are hearts are just happy.
This program has been funded by the Legacy Arts, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.